We have Zach Freeman, we have Julian Wild, and we have Colley Shaw. We're going to hear a little bit from them.
All right, Zach Freeman and I are going to perform a song, one of my newer songs called Who Has Seen the Wind. The song is inspired by a poet from the 1800s, Christina Rossetti, and the lyrics are very simple. At the show, we're going to see some really great mashup with Zach Freeman and his looping machine and some wind-inspired rhymes. But in this KUNM version, we're going to go all organic and a cappella. Who has seen the wind?
Julian Wild, you've got to explain to me this remarkable black-headed banjo you're about to play for us.
Yeah, I'm holding a gold tone ML-1K, which is what we call the missing link. And it was invented, somebody might Google this and maybe he collaborated or maybe he was helped, but it was invented by a man named Bela Fleck, who's an idol of mine. He's someone mm-hmm. who played this instrument recently on an album with Abigail Washburn. And it's called Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. And if you've never heard that album, it changed my life as a musician, as a writer. It's brilliant. And I heard this sound out of a banjo that I'd never heard before. So I did some research. I looked up what he was playing, and it was this really dark wooded, black headed banjo with this beautiful inlay, this mother of pearl inlay of leaves and vines growing up the fretboard. And that's what I'm holding here, the Missing Link banjo by Goldtone. It's a step between the banjo and the guitar as far as tuning. So it has a deeper, more kind of mellow sound. It kind of has this really nice ringing warm.
And wound strings as opposed to, because banjo strings, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm just a wimp, they really hurt. They really hurt if you haven't built up your calluses.
They're just like the same as a steel string guitar, in my opinion.
Those really hurt.
Yeah. You just got to build up your calluses, Matthew.
Yeah, you just got to work on it. The bottom strings on the instrument. So normally you have a straight steel string on a banjo, and that's what gives it that really teeny tangy kind of metallic sound. When you wind a string with bronze around steel, that's when you get the guitar sound, which is more mellow and more full. And so that's what they've done with this instrument to bring it into a different register. And I think with where my voice is as a baritone singer, having a baritone instrument really lent itself to open up my possibilities to write on this instrument. Yes. And I've been having a lot of fun with it.
So what are you going to give us this time?
I'm going to play a song for you that is an original piece. It's called To Be Human. And it's sort of, if you were at a Wild Humans band practice, we consider this our theme song just because it has the name in it. But yeah, I wrote this song a few months after I started really digging into this instrument. And I hope you like it.
To be human, you learn to love, you learn to wait, you learn to fill your own plate, you learn to live it up some. It's that cold reminder. The more you learn, the less you know. You ride the highs and drown the lows, gliding through the grinder. And once in a while, you will find yourself. Once in a while, you will fight like hell. Once in a great while, time stands still. Once in a while. Take me in your hands and hold me in your arms. No, don't burn slow. Show me who you are and tell me what you know. Oh, the fire burns warm. Take me in your hands, baby. Hold me in your arms. No, don't burn slow. Show me who you are. One. once in a while, you will find yourself. Once in a while, you will fight like hell. Once in a great while, time stands still. Once in a while.
Yeah, that's fine, that's fine. And I'll start it singing, and then I'll drop beat and then sing again.
We all thought that we could believe him, but then we stepped and stepped, and now we can see that there's a new sky waiting for all of us to step through. Never could imagine what one person could do. Yes, we all believe, and we all try to understand things that we're looking at. Our own eyes are the things that we believe we were paying attention to. What just happened like a minute ago, we try to push and pull, and we strive to move, and then we walk away and forget to say that this anthem means that we are all united underneath this banner of humanity. It's not you and me, it's just us and them and all of us pushing for the same reason that we're getting farther. It's okay if we all get wounded in the struggle, but the problem is that we are causing all the trouble. Now come on. We all back in the saddle once again, riding around like cowboys and Indians. Gee, it's really funny when we asking for the money that we've already been paid just for being citizens. It's like more rights for them, more fights for us to start. Responsibility that's falling apart. We are losing all the footing that we had, because we all know that when we grow up, we just want to be bad. Not cool, we play the fool, we have the time to pay attention to our kids. Now we got these rhymes that make more sense to us than the money in the wallet that we spent 8 hours trying to work for. It's no door, it's in store, it's a new sale, it's another day to bail out on the people that we thought that we were. Now it's just another price tag, put that back into the bag, y'all. If you need another hamburger, another french fry, another freaking frozen drink, because that stops us all from thinking about the things that really matter. Now we're watching ourselves. It's like obesity is not just another unit, it's a way of life. So just look at your wife and your kids and your car and your dog. It's not far for us to see that. I'm not really trying to lie about macho man size is really us, and you can't believe that it happened to you. You woke up one day and you found out that it wouldn't let you have space. It was all about, 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 it was all about.
Like I would curse on the radio, don't I? That's what that
yeah, that's
about,
I'm like looking at you. Julian, don't embarrass me, man. I want to come back to Matthew's show.
Well, I'm here with the, I guess what we would call it, the latest edition of the Art of the Song Coffee House Songwriters Swap. And we have 3/4 of the artists in here. Kali, you were a participant in the very first one of these.
Yes, I was.
And I have a recording of that.
Oh, you do?
That Art of the Song.
Oh, I love that. That was such a great performance and show. Yeah, it was the debut of the Song Swap was earlier this year in May, and it's put on by the Art of the Song Coffee House, which is a fabulous new venue here in town that's owned by John and Vivian, a couple that have recently moved to Albuquerque, and they run a syndicated NPR show called Art of the Song, and they have opened a small venue, and they approached several songwriters in the Albuquerque community to put on a songwriter round of sorts. And so the first one was back in May, and I was involved with that along with good friends Meredith Wilder, Gabriel Luis, Alex Mariel, and some other songwriters.
Justin Evan Thompson.
Justin Evan Thompson. Thank
and,
you.
Okay, so it started out as, here's where I want to go. It started out as five musicians who were, if we were sort of unfair to all of you, we could put you under an Americana umbrella, even though there's different flavors in all of that music.
Sure.
However, for this one, the four of you are taking a different approach, and it seems to me that what's exciting about this edition is you're expanding the musical palette. So how is this one coming together?
Definitely. Well, after the last song swap, John asked me to kind of organize this one here in October, and so I kind of just went to my little address and phone book of local musicians and wanted to pick out my top favorite ones. And I also wanted to kind of make it just a little bit different, you know, to break away from that Americana folk vein. And so, you know, I wanted to call my friend Julian, who is, you know, his background is awesome indie rock band, The Breaktone. And he's doing some really cool new things with his project, Wild Humans. And a longtime friend and collaborator, Zach Freeman, who's here with us today, the one man band, beatbox, crazy machine. I love Zach and his music. And so I was really fortunate that they were both available. And then I was actually introduced to Eileen through Meredith Wilder, and was told about her and checked out her band, Eileen and the In-Betweens, and was just amazed at how seamless their folk Americana sound is and her message of poetic justice and social justice, excuse me, and her whole approach to songwriting is just great. So I think it's a really strong lineup of four Albuquerque musicians, songwriters, and we're looking forward to it.
Now, part of the sort of the twist in the songwriter swap is that you're not there to play the real event is not you playing your own material. It's you choosing the material of another participant in the group. Now, sometimes that means, I know, Kali, you were taking an Alex Marial piece. Mm-hmm. You and Alex go back to when you were teenagers.
Sure.
So in some cases, it's musicians who really know each other, know their stuff. But in other cases, and I think, Julian, you were talking about this, you have to get really familiar with a musician's work, like, real fast. You have to become an intimate, like, in a weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I met Zach for the first time a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. And his music has this wonderful sort of world music quality to it that is really based in beats and loops and these really, I think, great professional sounding, clean arrangements. I was snooping on him earlier today on the internet, and I found out that he has the number one profile on Reverb Nation for any artist in Albuquerque.
What?
In his genre, yeah.
I do?
Yeah, you do.
You need to get online more, Zach.
You do, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
You have a lot of plays on there, for
really?
Sure. So it's great, but what I typically do, at least what I'm trending toward, is sort of what I would call the future folk genre. A lot of my project, Wild Humans, is based in a real grassroots way of bringing music directly to fans. And so the band pops up in places you wouldn't normally find us. We'll pop up in an art gallery. Just the other day, we popped up at the Bernalillo County Public Arts Crawl in a municipal building. And so the mobility that's provided by folk musicians, people with acoustic instruments, lends a lot of flexibility to where we can show up and where we can interact with our fan base. That being said, I don't have a lot of production software on me when we're on stage typically.
Right.
And so looking at these songs that Zach's doing that are more arranged and are sort of headier, higher production level and value than what we're used to using, that provides me with an interesting challenge of getting to interpret his work.
Well, Zach, when you're working, because you're using live looping, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of depth that you can bring out just you.
Yeah, more often than not, the major problem with looping is getting too thick, like putting too many layers on, because it turns to mud after a while, no joke. And then depending on how, I don't mean to get all super technical, but this is something I run into all the time. When I think I have my settings dialed in and I haven't gone out into the crowd to hear what they're hearing, I might have just spent a whole hour thinking I was rocking because I'm wearing headphones and the audience is just going... And I can tell, you know, like I usually can tell because, number one, people don't look at me, and number two, they walk out, and then I'm like, I think something might be wrong with the sound. But yeah, it's that's an interesting challenge. The funny thing is, conversely, like, I do come from a very the normal way of like songwriting and stuff, because I was with the I toured with an acapella band for like 5 years, and then kept on going back to Denver to play with a couple other ones for another 10, and then, you know, punk ska hip hop band and stuff in between. But now I get to go back and be like, traditional stuff. How do we do that again?
I'm really interested to see how Zach interprets some of the songwriters that he's covering. I think it's going to be really cool and interesting experience.
Are you covering one of mine, or are you covering Carly and Eileen?
I think I got Carly and Eileen. I think I got, don't I got you? I don't have you.
How did these decisions get made? We'll hear later from Eileen Shaughnessy, so, who couldn't make it in.
It was a very meticulously planned out selection process via a Secret Santa app online, where we put all our names into a digital hat, so to speak, and received an email with the song assignment. So the show format is really great. We start off kind of like you were alluding to. We warm up the night with our own stuff, our own arrangements performed by ourselves, as well as some collaborative duo work. Like Zach and I are going to perform together one of my songs. But then the second set is where the fun really begins, and that's where we each cover each other's music. And so the four of us are each assigned two of the other songwriters. So it's really the songwriter doesn't get to see or hear the song of their cover.
So we can watch your face, because that's one of the fun sort of fun and terrifying aspects of the show. So you know, we often talk about how great it is in music, you know, over the last 10 years or so, the idea of borders breaking down and people not being jammed into genres and being fluid, you know, fluid in musical identity. How are you doing that? I mean, I'm looking at three people who have been fluid. You know, if we chart from where you were at 20 to where you are now, Julian, I'm assuming you're a little past 20.
I know I look like a baby. I know I look like a baby. I might not sound like one in Radio Land, but
beautiful man.
Yeah, I'm 29. And so when I was 16, I started playing with a band in bars called King Friday. And I was writing music, and everyone else in the band was in their mid-20s. And that was back around when I met Kali, when he was playing with Felonious Groove Foundation. Mm-hmm. And we would play some shows together. So it was one of those deals where they usher you in. You get a 5-foot by 5-foot area to sit near the stage, because you're not above drinking age. You can't be in a bar unless you're a performer. And then you get to go on stage and perform. And as soon as you're done, they usher you out a back door. And you have to wait until the show's over or until your band members bring out your stuff.
I didn't have that problem when I was performing there underage.
No. Man, they kept me under a tight leash, man.
They knew who you were. It's that baby face.
It was, yeah. I looked 12, I'm sure. But at that time, what we had was, you know, I was very into, when I was much younger, I was very into singer-songwriters like Dave Matthews, and his whole design was a very old world. And I say old world, I don't mean Beethoven. I say old world like I mean 50s and 60s, when the American music scene began to blossom. You put together a band with you and your friends, or you and your favorite local musicians. You went out and you booked gigs till you made enough money from those gigs to make a record. And once you had a record, you'd go out and promote it using radio, newspaper, different public appearances. And the more shows you played, the more exposure you had.
And this is old world.
This is old world.
You're making me feel terrible.
I'm so sorry.
It's still relevant, though.
It's still relevant. It's still part of the process. That's why we're here. Yeah, yeah. But now what we can do is I produce all of Wild Human's music from my bedroom. I have very high-level microphones. I have a great interface and software there that I can just sit down at a laptop. I can bring in high-level musicians to come and record their part in my home. And so I could record a 30-piece band. Just in that way, and then I can mix and master everything and upload it directly to a site where my fans subscribe, and they can hear my music as I'm making it.
And they're subscribers, so that's the dollar, that's the monetized part of it.
Right, right. Okay. You might get $3 a month from somebody, and every time you release something, they get to hear it and download it. So that's a new model. The music industry's changed drastically, because everybody now can be in a band. You don't need to be on Sony. RCA Records or Columbia or something like that to be heard. And I think one positive effect it's had is that what you're getting is you're getting a flood of product into the art world. Mm-hmm. And then you're allowing fans to listen to all of it on a lot. There's a lot of music services, mm-hmm. but everybody has an account on every one. And the fans are now deciding, this is our favorite stuff. And I think you're getting artists that would not have been popular in the past when this wasn't the case, because their product is what is reaching the fans and getting them notoriety. It's not their mm-hmm. look or the amount of money.
And it's getting there basically unfiltered because, right. as you say, there's no photo shoot.
Right.
You
know, there's no company saying you can't say that on a record. Right. There's no one who owns your name and your contract.
And the different styles of music that you have access to. I mean, I remember having, you know, I loved the days of going to Charlie's Records or what have you and browsing the jazz section or the funk section and the, you know, the singer-songwriter section, what have you. But now, you know, with services like Spotify, you can just kind of cruise through different styles and genres and really be exposed to so many different world cultures and styles. And that all kind of lends into, I mean, my music and to Zach's music and Julian's music. So I think that was going back to your question about all the different sounds and styles that we've been exposed to and where we have ended up today.
Well, we do want to hear some more of what you can do musically, but you guys probably know Claudio Toulouse.
Of course.
Claudio was up here earlier in the day, and one of the things that Claudio has been doing is trying to find a way to release one song when it's ready and then coop until 2 months later the next song is ready. Mm-hmm. But because he's working, you know, interstylistically and among different languages, it's like if you hear this song from him, you're going to go, oh, he's a Latin American songwriter with a sort of a jazz feel. You catch another song, he's a completely different personality. And because there's no album sort of binding it together, how do you build an audience if I mean, it's like the blind man and the elephant, you know, what part of you, the artist, do they know?
Well, I guess the first answer is, does that matter as much as we think it does as music makers and consumers? Because most people find a song that they love, they download it, and they keep it on their phone. Mm-hmm. And it's about that song to them and less so about a fanatical love of you as an artist. Mm-hmm. And then there are some people that prefer to latch onto certain artists that arrange sound mm-hmm. in a way they love. So in a way, what Claudio's doing, what lots of us are doing now by creating one song at a time and maybe having a release once a month instead of an album once every 4 years, I think that's something that we're branching out into. We're creating a new market where people can just latch onto sounds that they like rather than latching onto the artist mm-hmm. specifically.
And it also keeps your audience, you know, more appeased rather than waiting 3 years between an album release or 2 years. You know, you're giving them content on a more regular basis. You're releasing singles, maybe building towards that album. So kind of keeps the ball rolling, so to speak. And
I think a lot of, especially, I think the way that people have viewed themselves as music lovers has definitely changed too. Because, I mean, my kids, for example, my son listens to some hip hop, but he pretty much listens to everything but country, it seems like. Oh, he likes a lot of pop, a lot of singer-songwriter stuff. My daughter, what do you like, pop, rock type thing?
I guess pop or rock.
Yeah, but she doesn't like rap. She's like, hip-hop is cool right up until they start rapping. And I'm like, but baby, what the thing is that, so you don't like it in my song when I be rapping, you know, but like, that's the thing is that like, she doesn't have to. And that's one thing that I appreciate about the situation now is that like, you don't get to get wrapped around the axle about people not being a musical purist. And I don't mm-hmm. think we should even continue to expect that from musicians themselves, you know, like, I don't even know what kind of music I do. I really don't. Like, if you come up with a name for it, you go ahead and tell me, and I'll see if it works.
Isn't that so freeing? Like, when you go see a Wild Humans show, you might just see me and a guitar, mm-hmm. or you might see a 12-piece orchestra. And every recording, every performance, every appearance is a different roster of people, and so we can be much more inclusive about what is Wild Humans, what is the group. And in a lot of ways, the art is becoming more amorphous, And we're able to really change our style, not just from album to album as our life progresses, but these days with how much information we take in and how fast our brains run, we change from week to week as writers.
That's really interesting what you guys do with the pop-up method. It allows your kind of a different organic experience to kind of take place every time that you guys perform. So
by the pop-up method, you mean the showing up in venues where you're unexpected.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you might literally see one of our location scouts. So we have a team of folks who are on the back end as well as the front end. We have people who will go and scout locations for the band to appear, and they'll see what the foot traffic is like in a certain part of town, and we'll schedule the band to appear at a certain time of day where the foot traffic is highest. And we'll do that in and outside of public buildings and in public spaces. But then you also might see us in a concert. You might see us in a concert setting, which is what I prefer the most, which is a black box theater that we've rented. And we've put a pop-up art gallery by a local artist. We're opened for by the New Mexico Slam Poetry team. And then the band finishes the show. And we've got, you know, a local brewery there pulling handles. And you know, so that's the kind of flexibility we have. The pop-up is one part of our mission where we can just show up in your life where you wouldn't expect a band. I really want to put us somewhere funny, like the produce section of a grocery store.
That'd be awesome.
You know, something to that effect.
Let me know when you're doing that.
That's like a whole video series right there. It's like, so I was in the men's bathroom at Posh Nightclub, and what had happened was, all of a sudden there was a power outage, and when the lights came on, there was these dudes, right? And what they had done was taking their instruments inside the bathroom. Now I'm saying, it was cool though, you know, I was with that, but I wasn't really looking for that, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It's cool though, you know, that's cool though.
Yeah. You can see why I've chosen these artists to be part of this really interesting project at the Art of the Song Coffee House. These two gentlemen here are great, and I'm so looking forward to sharing the stage with them.